Jones, brother and sister, C.H., Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, April 23, 1902. Dear brother and sister Jones, I have words from the Lord for you. Recently, I read a very important letter from Brother Jones. That night, I was instructed of the Lord by object lessons and explanations that made a deep impression on me. I do not now purpose relating all that was presented to me, but there are some things that I must relate. We seem to be assembled in council with a number interested in the working of the Pacific Press. Some things were said with regard to the past management of the institution. The statement was made that the results of this management were not altogether satisfactory. Papers were read. Many perplexing problems were introduced. There seemed to be so many questions to consider that little headway was made, and no light from God seemed to be shining in. One of the questions under consideration was, should Brother Jones resign? Who will occupy the position that he has occupied in the institution since he was a young man? One who has often been present in our councils now stepped forward, and looking with intense interest and sympathy upon Brother Jones, stepped to his side, and speaking to the brethren said, "Should your brother leave the office now, he would wrong himself and the work. Would his resignation remove the difficulties in the institution? Who of those present would consent to stand in his place? Who of you have prayed and counseled with him as faithful missionaries for God? Who have helped him just when and where he needed help? Who have stood as true, faithful sentinels, ready to do their duty to God and to their brother? None of you could honor the position your brother has occupied, unless as helpers you had men who were burden-bearers, and who would stand on a higher, more spiritual plane of action than you have stood in your relation to Brother Jones. Bear in mind that we have a high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He is a helper who never fails us, never disappoints us when we call upon him. He is the example we are to follow in our efforts to help our fellow workers. You who have criticized your brother as he has borne responsibilities may not have made just the same mistakes that you criticize in him, but you have made mistakes and failures deserving of more severe criticism than you have given him. Too often those who stand in positions of responsibility are criticized by their associates in labor, who ought to have wisdom to know that silence is eloquence, and that the one supposed to be in the wrong is not to be condemned before he has been given opportunity to make explanation. When you saw defects in your brother, how honorable it would have been to go to him alone and faithfully, in tenderness and love, try to show him his errors. Those who refuse to take heed to Christ's words, tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Matthew 18, verse 15. Show that they think unjustly, and that they are themselves deficient. Our instructor placed his hand on Brother Jones's shoulder and said, "My brother, should you leave the position you now occupy, great injustice would be done. Those of your associates who have had so much to say in criticism would think their words true. You can honor God now by being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Ephesians 6, verse 10. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Verses 11 to 18. Addressing Brother Jones, our instructor said, "Take up the work anew, and, turning to the others present, learn of Jesus, His meekness, His lowliness. Empty the mind of unkind criticism, and fill it with the determination to cherish the faith that works by love and purifies the soul. With sanctified determination, take up the work of making yourselves all that Christ wishes you to be. You all need to put on every piece of the Christian armor, for you have battles to fight. There is a stern conflict before the people of God. When Christ was on this earth, he chose 12 disciples to be constantly with him. These it was his purpose to train for his work. He did not call their attention to the purposes and laws of the kingdoms of the world, but to a higher, holier theme, the purposes and laws of the kingdom of God. He did not speak to them of politics, but of the subjects that concerned them as stewards of his grace. He gave them a general idea of the character of his kingdom and of its working as a kingdom of grace in this world and a kingdom of glory in the future world. He told them that it was not an earthy, temporal kingdom, but a kingdom that would endure forever. He revealed to them the covenant of peace, the great charter that declares the principles of his kingdom. When the 12 were elected to the apostleship, they expected that Christ would give them preferments, but instead, he gave them commandments. And he gave them the Holy Spirit, his presence, as a comforter, to abide with them and teach them. "Peace be unto you," he said, "as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." John 20, verse 21, 22. Do those present on this occasion feel that they are fitted to be thus honored, to have their commission thus sealed? In order to fulfill their mission, the disciples were to work under the Holy Spirit's teaching. Thus only could they fill acceptably the position of trust in which they had been placed. Christ gave them a high and holy work to do. This they were able to accomplish, not by uniting with the world, but by standing on the platform of truth, sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, the earnest of our inheritance. The words spoken to the disciples are spoken also to you. The work the Savior gave them, he has given also to you. Are you doing this work? Light has been repeatedly given regarding the qualifications needed by those who are chosen to do God's work. They are to walk in the light of heaven, bringing into the daily life the principles of pure and undefiled religion. They are to be a peculiar people, distinguished from the world by their refusal to conform to its customs, amusements, and principles. Christ is to be glorified by the difference between the lives of his people and the wickedness and perversity of worldlings. Then, as they stand on vantage ground, he will work through them with mighty power. The only way in which you can do acceptable service, after delaying so long to heed the word of the Lord, is by separating from the institution, not those you can train and educate, but those who, though supposed to be believers, have never been converted, those whose words and works declare that their example is as unholy leaven. Who will now be burden bearers, filled with a resolute determination to honor God? This is the test that is to be our guide in retaining or dismissing workers. No worker is needed in the Lord's institution whose love of worldly pleasure leads others astray. All connected with the Lord's work are held responsible to bring into this work a refining, purifying influence. Each worker is to help his fellow worker to fill his appointed place. Each is to help the other to reach a higher standard. All are to study how they can blend with their fellow workers. All are to strive to become workers who can educate others. Those who direct in the work must not excuse themselves from the faithful discharge of their duty to reprove wrong in those who are not trying to work and walk in obedience to God's word. In this institution, a large number of hands are employed to do commercial work. God does not require the doing of this work. Light has been given you in regard to this matter. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. 1 Kings 18, verse 21. Will you now do thorough work in carrying out the instruction God has given regarding the work to be done by our publishing houses? If you continue to follow the plans you have been following, you will lose heaven. Leave to worldlings the business of the world. Do much more whole-souled, diligent work for the Master. The lines of business that have no relation to the cause of God should be cut away from the publishing house. The time and talents of the workers should be devoted to the publication of the truth. There is a great work to be done for God. Enter boldly into the warfare against sin and wrong. It is safe to be in earnest in battling for the right. Unite with one another in the determination to restore righteous principles in the Lord's institution. Be faithful and true to one another. Break the yoke that Satan has placed on your necks and take Christ's yoke, a yoke that is pleasant to bear. Learn of the great teacher. God will raise up men and women to be educators in the printing work, men and women who love and fear Him, whose hearts are aglow with the love of Christ, who will be fathers and mothers in Israel. Earnest effort, strong purpose, and unwavering trust in God will enable us in every emergency to do that which will glorify God.